Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Iman. I'll start by saying I am not volunteering at this session. But the presentation, thank you very much for it. I find it very interesting. And it took me back just briefly to early days of WLTP GTR development, when we started with the latest piece of emissions legislation, which was a motorcycle legislation. And the first action we did was, when we were determining the road load, we deleted the requirement that the driver has to wear a helmet and gloves. We didn't see that as significant in a passenger car. And that's the sort of thing we're looking at. It fascinates me, I have to say. I can't speak for Oika. We haven't really, I'm afraid, had much discussion on this. But certainly within the company that I work for, we've been discussing this sort of stuff for years. And just wanted to share a couple of the discussions with the group that might prompt some interest and perhaps some response. Two fundamental questions that we ask in response to this are, one, will there ever be these automatic, autonomous, or whatever we call them, vehicles with combustion engines? Because the trend will, of course, be when you're introducing new technology, you introduce bundles of new technology. So you would expect electric vehicles to be doing it. But there's no actual valid reason, certainly in Europe up to 2035, that you wouldn't have this technology with a combustion engine. And that is linked to the second question, will we still be testing on a chassis dynamometer, or will everything go to road testing? And the reason behind that is that for road testing, as you would use the vehicle in normal use, you would tell it where you want to go and perhaps which route you want to take, and it would do it. And to some extent, there's no sort of political implications with that. But for well-documented reasons, if you program a car to know what cycle to drive on a chassis dynamometer, there may be concerns, for want of better wording. They can obviously be resolved, but they're two fundamental questions that we will have to talk about in that. And that brings me on to the next thing. If you're going to do some testing of such a vehicle on a chassis dynamometer, then you need a robot driver. And back in the day when I started this job, a robot driver, you were looking at things that were something that sat on the driver's seat and pushed pedals and moved gear sticks, and some of them looked just like a steel frame, and some of them looked even like your sort of classic 1960s sci-fi robot. And today, pretty much all systems on at least many vehicles are drive-by-wire, and you just program a computer to tell it what to do. But that concept of robot driving, I think it should be well known to a number of participants of GRPE. Our sadly departed and still very much missed friend and colleague Winfried Matatko brought it to the group several times, the thought of how to integrate a robot driver into legislation. And perhaps that's something that this group needs to think about. It's something that we could do in parallel in preparation for this. If we do see a need for robot drivers, then we could start that work pretty quickly, because it won't be entirely easy. And then to finish, as I say, we haven't had much discussion in OICA. I don't have any mandate to offer assistance, but I personally, as I say, I personally have a strong interest. I think there will be other OICA members that have a strong interest. We support all activities of GRPU very much so, as I hope and know everyone knows. But I suspect we can find someone who can be very, very active in this and do a lot of work. But we will talk about it. We'll come back, obviously, before the next session, if and when we get any volunteers. Thank you.